There's been a lot of talk about who should start in place of Jaren Jackson Jr. while he is out with a stress fracture injury. Well, it's actually not that hard of a choice, and the numbers back it up. So we're going to tell you why Brandon Clarke should step in and be the starter while Jaren Jackson Jr. is out, coming up on Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am your host, DeMichael Cole, beat writer for the Commercial Appeal here in Memphis, Tennessee. And once again, thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies, where we try to bring you some of the best coverage out there pertaining to the Memphis Grizzlies. But first, I want to thank you and let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online is where the game starts, and Bet Online is where you go to get those bets. Thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies, longtime followers as well. We appreciate each and every one that has attributed to us reaching the 1,000 subscriber mark on YouTube. So thank you for that as well. Make sure you're tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies everywhere, because we're everywhere. We're Apple, Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you go, tell a friend to tell a friend. They can tune in to Locked On Grizzlies, and our content is only getting better. Speaking of only getting better, that's the theme around this Grizzlies roster, right? Only getting better. So many young guys, the second youngest roster in the NBA last season. And look at the young core: Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., Zaire Williams, all guys under 25. You want to add the rookies to that: Jake LaRavia, David Roddy, Kennedy Chandler. All guys under 25 years of age. Sure, then you have your mixed-in veterans, Dylan Brooks, Steven Adams, who, you know, have been in this league a while. Steven Adams has been on some Western Conference Finals teams. Dylan Brooks got an early run earlier in his career, played with Mike Conley, played with Marc Gasol. So he got to learn the ropes from two of the better Grizzlies players in franchise history. But this team is young, but they have a veteran savvy to them too. I actually just wrote a story about Desmond Bane entering his third season, but being one of the more veteran players on this roster. You can go check that out at commercialappeal.com. But we're going to focus on one guy, and it's the guy who should replace Jaren Jackson Jr. and not replace, step in, fill in for Jaren Jackson Jr. right now as the starting power forward. This has been a big conversation, right? We talked about this on Locked On Grizzlies. We talked about who could it be. I've mentioned Jake LaRavia in past episodes as a guy who intrigues me as well. But I'm on the record. So you've heard me say in the past, I don't know about this fit with Brandon Clarke as the starting power forward. I don't know. But then went back and watched some film. Went back and looked at some numbers. And then I said, you know what? Maybe this works. Maybe there's no point in overthinking this. Maybe Brandon Clarke, the most productive big man off the bench for the Grizzlies last season, a guy who has had a steady career so far, maybe it's simple. Maybe you just plug him in. It's a simple solution. Brandon Clarke should be the Grizzlies' starting power forward while Jaren Jackson Jr. is out due to recovering from a stress fracture injury. So a little bit on Jaren Jackson Jr. We found out right before free agency, the Grizzlies, you know, made a statement that Jaren Jackson Jr. had a procedure done to address a stress fracture injury in his foot. We've talked to people around the Grizzlies about this. I've also talked to doctors, so that'll be something that we discussed in the next episode as well. But the thing about Jaren Jackson Jr.'s injury is he's going to be out roughly to December, January in that frame. And when he comes back, he's going to, you know, probably be worked into the rotation, and then he's going to be the eventual starter. Brandon Clarke has succeeded so well off of the bench, as we saw last season in that role. You wonder if you want to take him out of that role. But let's talk about the numbers first. We're going to get to that side of things. We're going to talk about the numbers first, and I also did a story on this as well that you can check out on commercialappeal.com. It says, why Brandon Clarke may just be your option when it comes to power forward. And some of this was surprising to me because, yes, I think we all can agree he was the most valuable big man off the bench for the Grizzlies this season. We all can agree, along with Desmond Bane in that first round series against the Minnesota Timberwolves, when Ja Morant was struggling, when Jaren Jackson Jr. was struggling, when Steven Adams was benched, when Xavier Tillman gave you one quarter of some of the best basketball in his career, and then went back to modest production, when Zaire Williams was inconsistent, as you know, expected from a young player in his first playoff experience, as DeAnthony Melton was kind of phased out of the rotation. It was Brandon Clarke and Desmond Bane who saved that series. So there's no debating the impact that Brandon Clarke has on this Grizzlies team. We saw it last season that he's one of the most valuable players. But let's throw some numbers out there at you. So one thing that Taylor Jenkins likes to do, he likes to bring Brandon Clarke off of the bench. Didn't play a lot of minutes. Why? Because you got Jaren Jackson Jr., you got Steven Adams. You go small, you put Jaren Jackson Jr. at the center. He has those minutes as well. Brandon Clarke was so productive in his time on the court. Check this out. He averaged the 10th most minutes on the Grizzlies, 19.5 minutes per game. Kyle Anderson, DeAnthony Melton, Tyus Jones, Zaire Williams, all those guys came off the bench, averaged more minutes than Brandon Clarke last season. Still, Brandon Clarke finished with the 6th most points per game on the Grizzlies. So again, 10th in minutes, 6th on the team in points per game. Instant bucket. We've talked about his scoring around the rim. We talked about his floater. I've mentioned in the past, Brandon Clarke had the 3rd most efficient floater in terms of usage and volume and, you know, just efficiency in the entire NBA. The other two guys were up there were Jakob Poeltl and the MVP, Nikola Jokic, the back-to-back MVP. Those were the only two players who were big men who had comparable floaters to Brandon Clarke. As a fact, Jokic was the only person who tested better in the floater game. So that tells you he has a go-to move. But here's the thing about the lineups. I looked at a couple lineups, looked at a few lineups, actually. At the end of the day, Brandon Clarke, as I said, only 19 and a half minutes a game. And a lot of that time was spent on the floor with Jaren Jackson Jr. So you have to scrub and go find the minutes without Jaren Jackson Jr. And they're far and few in between. There are not a lot of minutes out there with him not on the floor with Jaren, because those two, as we saw throughout the majority of the Grizzlies season, they close games late in the fourth quarter together. So according to Clean the Glass, when Brandon Clarke and Steven Adams shared the floor, which would likely be the starting front court this season, the Grizzlies had a net rating of 5.1 in non-garbage time minutes. So cleaning the glass, obviously, a big part of cleaning the glass is they take out those garbage time minutes to kind of give you a better layout of the stats. You know, as we see in garbage time, a lot of the guys aren't playing the defense as much, and a lot of little chip easy baskets get made. Cleaning the glass takes that out. So if you take out those garbage time minutes, 5.1 net rating. I think that was a surprise to some people. We've heard a lot about Steven Adams and Brandon Clarke not being efficient on the floor together. Here are a couple five-man lineups that I looked at. One of those five-man lineups, this was the most used five-man lineup without Jaren Jackson and Brandon Clarke on the floor together that featured Brandon Clarke. It's Steven Adams, Desmond Bane, Ja Morant, De'Anthony Melton. This lineup played 18 minutes together, had a negative 5.4 rating. So in 18 minutes, this lineup, negative 5.4. Didn't really get it done, right? Well, De'Anthony Melton's not on the Grizzlies anymore. He's with the Sixers. And if you change De'Anthony Melton for Zaire Williams with those same players, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Steven Adams, and you plug in Zaire Williams to go along with Brandon Clark, that lineup played 17 minutes last season. So, again, that first lineup that I mentioned played 18. This lineup played 17 minutes, a 14.9 net rating. Another thing, the Grizzlies finished third in the NBA in pace. That was another thing when I said I wanted to watch and see how these guys, not just the stats in terms of how much they scored in comparison to opponents, what's the style of play like? We know the Grizzlies like to push the basketball. They finished third in pace. I believe the pace was just over 100. How about this? A 109.8 pace, which is would have easily led the NBA. So the Grizzlies, with Brandon Clark and Steven Adams on the floor together, actually played at a faster pace than the normal starting lineup. Yeah, take that in. The Grizzlies finished third in the NBA, as I mentioned, in pace. Their pace was 100.3. That lineup, albeit, again, 17 minutes. So they're probably getting in for small stretches and times in games. But it was 109.8. This was Steven Adams and Brandon Clark on the floor together. Looked at another lineup. Just to break the tie. There were some negative lineups, and there were also some very positive lineups. Check out the Morant, Bain, De'Anthony Melton, Clark, and Adams grouping that I mentioned earlier. If you look at that lineup, if you take out Melton and you go with Dylan Brooks, 26.7 net rating. So again, the sample sizes are small, very small sample sizes, but there's proof out there that a Brandon Clark and Steven Adams lineup can work. I've talked a lot to Brandon Clark this offseason about, he's talking about adding a three-point shot more. As we saw when he came into the league, he was able to shoot the three-pointer, but it wasn't the most efficient part of his game. Kind of went away from it this season and towards the latter part of last season and had his most efficient year, I believe, to date. So when you look at from an overall perspective, this is your best option in terms of production. This is your best option in terms of reliability. But there are some other reasons why this is your best option. Some off-the-court reasons. We're going to talk about that, too, coming up on Locked on Grizzlies. But before we get to that, we got to talk to you about Bet Online. See, Bet Online is where you go to make some of your premier bets out there. And, again, it doesn't matter. Football, basketball, baseball, soccer, golf, Bet Online has you covered. I know August is usually looked at as one of the down months of the sports season, but BetOnline still has a lot out there to offer. We're talking WNBA. BetOnline has you covered with WNBA bets, props, scores as well. Preseason football is almost here. You think BetOnline won't have you covered with that? Think again. And there's also the other sports, MMA. MMA doesn't sleep. Boxing doesn't sleep. Go to BetOnline.net. Right now, take advantage of the props, take advantage of the scoring bets, and take advantage of the opportunity because BetOnline is where everything starts now. So speaking of starting now, I'm saying that Brandon Clark should be starting now, right, for the Grizzlies. And I just told you, he's the best option in terms of the production standpoint. Everyone knows that. It's no surprise. We just put some numbers behind it to pretty much solidify that point. But here's something that you probably haven't thought about when it comes to Brandon Clark starting. We know the NBA is very political. It's very political. And when I say political, I mean there are things always happening behind the scenes that, have the impact on the long game more so than what's happening right now. I think a lot of the fans, we always focus on right now. the politics of the NBA, there's a bigger focus on the larger picture. With all that being said, what about the contract status of Brandon Clark? So right now we just saw John Conchar just got an extension. How do you think that made Brandon Clark feel? I'm not trying to imply anything. And with the Grizzlies culture, he probably didn't feel any type of way. But an extension is eligible. Brandon Clark is eligible for an extension right now for the Grizzlies. And as of this day, he has not signed an extension yet. And there are two sides to this coin, and I've talked about that. One side is Brandon Clark's side. How do we know? Maybe he just doesn't want to sign an extension yet. He could just simply say, hey, I'm going to bet on myself. I think I'm going to improve even more next season and make more money. Or the other side of it is the Grizzlies may be saying, hey, we like him. Very big piece. But we want to see a little bit more before we throw money on the table. Because they're going to have to pay Desmond Bane next summer. If you just paid Ja Morant and his big contract will kick in next year, Jaren Jackson Jr.'s extension kicks in this season. So the pocketbooks are starting to, you know, fill up a little bit, and you wonder who gets the short side of the sticks on this. Well, starting Brandon Clark puts the Grizzlies in an excellent, excellent position of knowing what they want to do with him in the future. I'll explain. We just mentioned the production, 19 minutes, 10 points per game. Will those same numbers withstand over 28, over 30 minutes? Well, Brandon Clark, because we haven't, when you're playing 19 and a half minutes, you don't have to worry about foul trouble. Will Brandon Clark stay out of foul trouble over the course of a full, you know, game as a starter? Here's the thing. I think at the end of the day, the value of the big man is trending down. We saw how long it just took DeAndre Ayton to get his, you know, max contract extension. And even then, the Suns weren't willing to offer him, you know, the standard five-year deal that he would have gotten, you know, just from that franchise. They waited to another team, the Indiana Pacers, sent out an offer sheet so they could just match that and pay just a little bit less. But I think that shows how the value of the big man is going down a little bit. Sure, there are your anomalies. Rudy Gobert, Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, complete anomalies. But from the overall standpoint of the value of the big man, it's not there right now. It's not there. So the thing about Brandon Clark is he's efficient inside. He wants to work on his three-point shot, and he's been a more than capable defender. He blocks shots. He gets steals. He's very active on both ends. I think this is the perfect opportunity to say, hey, we think we want to pay Brandon Clark. We think he deserves X amount of dollars. Let's see how he performs in a bigger role. If Brandon Clark blows it completely out of the door, Now you're put in a position where you know, hey, we want to keep this guy, and you have a better idea of what it costs. Right now, I think the Brandon Clark contract could be all over the place. Because at the end of the day, he only played 19 and a half minutes, and we kind of mentioned this similarly with Tyus Jones when we were talking about his contract status. He didn't play the most minutes in the world, But you know what? When he was on the floor, Brandon Clark averaged 16 and a half points and 9 rebounds in 29 minutes in that series against the Timberwolves. Okay, again, technically, and I'm throwing up the quote fingers here, came off the bench. But he played 29 minutes. And what he did in that series, 16 and a half points, 9 boards, and shot the ball efficiently, 68% shooting from the field. You don't get that from a lot of big men in the NBA, along with his defense. So when you talk about the contract clarification part of this, that's a huge factor in this Brandon Clark's situation here. We know what he can do in terms of being a productive big man off the bench. It's kind of that energy spark plug. There's no doubt about that. He's proven that multiple seasons. What can he do in terms of filling in for Jaren Jackson Jr. in that starter role? I think that takes his contract status to another level. It either solidifies what the Grizzlies think about him or solidifies what he thinks about himself, or even both. They both could be extremely high on him. There could be some skepticism on one side. There could be Brandon Clark could say, hey, I think I'm a starter in the NBA. And he could go prove it when Jaren Jackson Jr. is out. Or there could be the other side where, you know, he basically fills in, but there's a noticeable drop off. At the end of the day, Brandon Clark should be the guy who starts, because it further kind of clarifies his contract status. If he comes off the bench and he's producing the same way, well, guess what happens? The Grizzlies are going to be in a position again where they have to pay another guy coming off the bench like they did Tyus Jones a big amount of money to keep them, probably, because you can bet if Brandon Clark produces like he did last season and adds a three-point shot, by the way, it doesn't even have to be 37, 38%. If he shoots 33% from three-point range, Brandon Clark's going to get a nice deal from somewhere else, and the Grizzlies are going to have to match it, or somebody else is going to have to get to producing in that backup center or power forward position behind Jaren Jackson Jr. But speaking of someone else producing, that's the situation that the Grizzlies are about to be in now. If Brandon Clark starts, if that's your starting power forward, who do you get production from off the bench? We're going to talk about that coming up next. So Brandon Clark is your starter. Jaren Jackson Jr. is on the bench. Who's left? Well, the good thing is you pretty much know who's left, because you saw a lot of them in Summer League. Xavier Tillman, Santi Aldama, David Roddy, Jake LaRavia, Zaire Williams. This whole group of players, this is pretty much what's left out there. And my guy Killian Tilly as well. Saw him in Summer League out there practicing with the players, and he was shooting the ball pretty good. But at the end of the day, the situation that the Grizzlies are in all comes down to, I think, the bench. I think this is the biggest factor in determining who starts, is making sure the bench is stable. Why? Wrote a lot about this last year. The Grizzlies had one of the best benches in the NBA. They were topping steals, topping blocks coming off the bench. They had one of the five best net ratings coming off the bench. Tyus Jones, De'Anthony Melton, Kyle Anderson, Brandon Clark, all huge reasons. John Conchar had a 15.19 rebound game. Huge reason. Zaire Williams, when he came off the bench, huge reason. All of these guys participated in this. But you know what I just mentioned? There was a core four guys coming off the bench. There was Tyus Jones, De'Anthony Melton, Kyle Anderson, Brandon Clark. Two of those guys are gone. De'Anthony Melton's gone. Kyle Anderson's gone. That is a blow. We've talked about it time and time again, but at the end of the day, De'Anthony Melton, for all the things that people have said, you know, oh, his playoff production, this and that, De'Anthony Melton averaged 10.8 points per game last season. Kyle Anderson averaged 7.6 points over five boards per game last season, and over a steal coming off the bench. That's a lot of bench production gone. And you're probably putting your faith in rookies to replace those guys. So the biggest question when you talk about who's gonna step up is who's going to produce. Right now, we're asking this question under the assumption that Brandon Clark is your starting power forward. If Brandon Clark comes off the bench has way more standing ground in terms of being a stable bench, having Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark you're probably going to have Zaire Williams in that grouping as well. I think those three are more than enough to keep the Grizzlies in that top 10, top 12 benches in the NBA group. Probably not top five like they were last season, but still enough in that top 10, top 12 grouping as well. But if we're assuming Brandon Clark starts, then your bench looks something like this. Tyus Jones is your backup point guard. John Conchar, who just signed an extension, I think that is proof that he is more than likely your De'Anthony Melton replacement. John Conchar steps in as your shooting guard. Zaire Williams is your small forward. Then you have a couple guys. You have David Roddy, you have Jake LaRavia, and they're position versatile guys. So you work in between those guys, and then you have your bigs. Xavier Tillman, who got the more run last year. There's Santi Aldama as well, who, you know, as we saw in summer league, showed flashes of a guy who's ready to produce. There are plenty of ways the Grizzlies can go with this. Even we talked about the position versatility of Zach LaRavia and David Roddy. I don't think it could be different. They may not be choosing between those guys. They could have a lineup something like, hey, John Conchar could be in a similar role as last season, and you bring Zaire Williams to the shooting guard position, Jake LaRavia to the three, and have David Roddy at the four, as well as Santi Aldama, Xavier Tillman, all those guys. But all the names that I'm mentioning are guys who participated in summer league. That tells you everything you need to know. Though these guys are in big developmental years. Zaire Williams, I've talked about time and time again, a guy that I'm very confident in. I think the potential is there. I was talking to Desmond Bain the other day, and he basically said that, you know, he said this previously. We've talked about how Desmond Bain has said that Zaire Williams, he's taking him under his wing. Everywhere he goes, Zaire Williams is coming right along with him. This was the case during the season, too. They both worked out Grizzlies assistant coach Darko Rajkovic a lot. They were in the same workout groups a lot of the times. And this summer, they've been together a lot. Zaire Williams spending some time out in L.A. right now. But Desmond Bain said, oh, as soon as he gets back, we're right back locked in. So with that being said, I think Zaire Williams is your guy who can replace that De'Anthony Melton scoring punch that you're missing. Albeit Melton was kind of inconsistent. Zaire Williams was inconsistent as a rookie, but we'll see how his consistencies kind of pan out in year two. But I think you get the Zaire Williams will replace the De'Anthony Melton production. Kyle Anderson is a bit of a different breed to me. I was of the opinion that re-signing Kyle Anderson was important. You talk about this is one of those versatile wings that the Grizzlies emphasize drafting, which kind of maybe hinted at, hey, they're going in a different direction because Jake LaRavia, guy that's going to play a lot at the three, can play the four. Same thing with David Roddy. Played small ball five some in college, played a lot of his time at the four, but he's also played a couple minutes at the three for the Grizzlies as well in summer league. So you got all these guys to choose from overall. But it'll all come down to, A, which players produce, and B, what lineups are the most cohesive. So, in my opinion, I'm thinking if you have Tyus Jones on the floor, you want John Conchar out there for the shooting. You want Zaire Williams out there for his ability to score off of the dribble and just, you know, get out in transition. I think I'd say it all the time. I think he's already, in his second season, one of the best wings at running the floor. You want him on the floor because when that bench unit comes in, you want those easy baskets. Who's the power forward guy right now? Jake LaRavia, David Roddy. You can make a great argument for both. As a fact, this is how close I think it is. I've made the argument that outside of Brandon Clark, the second best option, in my opinion, for that starting spot at power forward is Jake LaRavia. But in terms of the bench unit and what they need, and with the guys that I just mentioned, Tyus Jones as your point guard, John Conchar, Zaire Williams, I think David Roddy is your better fit as the small ball four in that bench grouping. Because, again, you're probably going to have Xavier Tillman as your backup center. Tillman, you know, doesn't have much of a low post game. not much of a face-up scorer. He's not going to shoot turnarounds and things like that. He's going to crash the glass. He's a strong, steady defender. He's going to rebound the basketball. Well, with David Roddy, you get those energy points. You get those hustle stats. You get that's the player when the bench is scuffling and no one's making a shot. He's going to make those energy plays, dive on the floor, find a loose ball, go up, get you easy 2 points. And we talked about how Zaire Williams runs the floor. I did not see a rookie in Las Vegas Summer League, period, that ran the floor better than David Roddy. I'm going to say it again. I did not see a rookie in the Summer League, period. Not just on the Grizzlies, period, that ran the floor better than David Roddy. There is something there. Grizzlies have something there in that guy. And I think with those five players, that's more than likely your bench grouping as of this point. Other names to factor into this will be Kenji Chandler. Do you go small? Do you go Kenji Chandler, Tyus Jones? Or do you turn it to something like Kenneth Lofton? Does he get that boosted contract that we talked about? Does he get that standard contract deal that takes him off of the two-way? Does Vince Williams do the same thing? You know, he's another guy who could shoot the basketball. Killian Tilly is a guy that I mentioned. Eventually, if Danny Green stays on the roster, if he's healthy, he will. There's no doubt about it. He will be a part of the rotation. But how does that factor into everyone else's role? There's a lot of things that go into this, but this is under the assumption that Brandon Clark starts. And if Brandon Clark is your starter, I think that the starting lineup will be still one of the more efficient, one of the fastest playing. Ja Morant will be able to exceed with Steven Adams and Brandon Clark on the floor. I know that a lot of talk has been about, oh, what about the spacing concerns and things like that, since the Grizzlies like space and pace. The numbers suggest Ja Morant will be fine. And as well, he's working on some things that we're going to talk about on future episodes. He's trying to incorporate into his game as well. Desmond Bane's going to be able to shoot the basketball because he's Desmond Bane. He's one of the best shooters in the league, period. Dylan Brooks, this is a prove it year for him. And we know how Dylan Brooks plays with a chip on his shoulder. Because he definitely wears one. All of those things factor into what will be a big, big decision that the Grizzlies will have to make about that starting spot. But we'll have you covered with more of that going forward on Locked On Grizzlies. But we thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen each and every day. Next episode, we got even more for you. I talked to one of the doctors who has covered a lot of NBA players and has extensive experience on stress fracture injuries. I'm going to tell you about my conversation with him and what he thinks about the future of Jaren Jackson Jr. For your second listen, make sure you get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the NBA on Locked On NBA. Remember, just 30 minutes every day with Locked On NBA. That's all you need. And it's your daily NBA update. Everything that's going on around the NBA. I always say this is important for you as Grizzlies fans because the Grizzlies are one of those teams now. The Grizzlies are one of the 10 best teams in the NBA. And when you are at that elite upper level, you need to know what's going on around you. You need to know which teams in the West are trying to make the moves towards championship status. You need to know which teams are packing it in. Like the Utah Jazz, for example. Since they traded Rudy Gobert, they're in an interesting spot. Is Utah about to kind of go into rebuild mode? Or is Utah just kind of just reshuffling it around and trying to make another run at it? All of those things can impact what's going on in Memphis. So make sure you tune in to Locked On NBA as well. But thank you again for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. We have some good things planned for you in August before we get to the preseason later on in September. Stay tuned for more of our coverage. Until next time, we'll see you on Locked On Grizzlies.